All right, I have something here that I need to say first of all. My disclaimer. My views and interpretation are not necessarily those of staff and management. Meaning, I may not be back. This morning, I will not astound you with my Bible knowledge, but I will hit you square in the face with my ability to look at things differently. Today I'm on a mission. I want to help you remember one word. It's a short one. My hope, is that you will remember this word. I want to awaken a spiritual gift that God has given to us all. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, if you'd like to turn with me there. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. That's my verse today. How many of us remember the 60s? Okay, how many of us were alive in the 60s? Okay, not all of us may remember, even if you were alive. Okay, it was a decade of love, so to speak. And we had the hippies and all the flower children and what have you. How many of us remember the 70s? The 70s was our decade of faith. If you have faith as that of a mustard seed, say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. So we had kind of a decade of faith. Well, you know what? I'm declaring the late teens of the 2000s the season of hope. We may not get a whole decade, but we're going to get something here, by golly. Have you ever lost hope? Maybe at some point in your life, maybe you have. We have an epidemic here in these United States. People seem to have a rise in suicide. What is the one thing that you hear about someone who has committed suicide? The last thing that happens is they lost hope. When you have no hope for tomorrow or even for today, they feel like there's no reason for living. Okay, we just read, faith, hope, and love abide. Yes, the greatest is love, but hope. Hope is what can get us up in the morning. You know, if you want to see a man without hope, you hear the stories about being on death row. And the man, as he's walking up to the gallows or to electric chair, they would say, a dead man walking, here's a man without hope of life. It's going to be taken from him because of something he's done. If you want to take over a nation of people, what do? You take away their hope and you own them. Now that we've had a good downer, let's look at some other parts of hope. Let's define hope. In its simplest form, hope is a feeling of trust. I'll say it again. It's a feeling of trust. To wait for, to look for, the expectation of something beneficial in the future. We've heard the song, anticipation is making me wait. That's hope. That anticipation is hope. All right, I can see that everybody's ready for that one. They're like, well, I don't really know the difference between faith and hope. What's going on here? Hope, its confidence expectation comes from faith. Let me give you an example of faith and hope that work in conjunction together. Maybe this will help you to define hope. When a father says they are going to an amusement park tomorrow, okay, if your daddy came to you and said, hey, we're going to an amusement park tomorrow, you're going to believe him, right? Faith is what is the belief. Believing that you're going tomorrow because your Father said so. As in our Father God says so. We have faith. The hope is the expectation, that joy, the exhilaration of knowing we're going to the amusement park tomorrow. That's where hope resides. Hope is in that expectation. Notice I have used the words joy and trust in defining hope. You know, if you have lost hope, take it back. God gave it to you. He's not an Indian giver. He gave it to you. Take it back and use it. God has a plan. You know, hope itself has passed on for millennia. That's a long time. Hope is the great unseen. Hope is eternal. Hope carries you through adversity. Didn't say it would take you around it or above it. It would take you through adversity. It was hope that helped me believe that my father would make it through surgery. You know, they said if you don't have surgery, you'll expire quickly. And if you do have surgery, there's still a 40% chance you won't get off the table. Well, it was hope that kept it alive. Never lose hope. Hope is perpetual. Hope begets hope. And if someone sees hope in you, that might spur hope in them. Remember those around you. You may be living the high life. Bills paid, gas in the car, getting ready to go on vacation. But who's the person next to you? Where are they? Do they need some hope? Do they need a little word of exhortation? Let's remember those around us. Build that hope. Our hope, our very purpose lies in hope. Why are you here? What did God call you to do? It lies in that hope. What gets you up in the morning? The hope of a new day. Knowing that there's something for you to do and to get done. A little word that ties so much together. You've probably heard them say, all they've got is hope and a prayer. You know, that sounds like a little bit, but that's where dreams are built. When you have that hope and a prayer, God gives you that dream. You can probably think of many dreams in your own life, some that have come true, maybe not all of them. But dreams begin with that little bit of hope right there. Where does hope originate? Does it start in your head? Okay, those of us who are married or maybe affianced, when you met Mr. Wright or Mrs. Wright, was it all like on your head, like, oh, there's a pretty girl there? No, it was right here in your gut. It's like, oh, that's the one for me. It's like someone just took a fist and slammed it right into your belly. Maybe you're looking for a house and you find that perfect house. Does it drop into your head? No, it drops right here. What does hope? We're going to go through a few of these. Number one, what does hope smell like? And Mr. Sharp, I need some amens this morning. Just saying. Number one, hope smells like coffee brewing in the morning. Amen. Hope smells like a baby after they've had their bath and you wrap them in swaddling clothes and you can just smell that little child. Can anyone relate to that? I know I can. Hope smells like a newborn puppy. You ever taken a little puppy, put it right up to your nose? They're licking you, and it just, they smell wonderful. All right, I'm not getting much response here, but this one's going to bring it. Hope smells like bacon. Okay, there we go. I knew it would work. And if you don't believe me, if I had enough bacon for this half over here, but not this half, what's the first thing that comes into your gut? It's like, oh, I hope I'm on the right side. Even if you're willing to give the bacon away, you still have that hope that I will get some bacon. That's hope going on there, people, okay? What does hope taste like? I'm looking back here again. The first sip of coffee. Amen. Okay, that's enough on the coffee. Anyway, we've got it. What does hope taste like? Hope tastes like victory. No matter how small the victory. If your victory today is getting out of bed and putting your socks on, that's hope. If your victory is going out, celebrating lunch with your children as they look to you for Father's Day, that is hope. What does hope sound like? You ever heard hope? I bet you have. Hope sounds like a child's laughter on Christmas morning. Before they open that present, they're about shaking so bad they can barely even hold the present, and they just rip through it. That's hope right there. That's what hope sounds like. What does hope feel like? The ability to do your job with excellence gives you that feeling of purpose, meaning. For me, it's mowing my yard. So when I get done mowing the yard and you see the yard, it's all beautiful. The flowers that my wife has planted are beautiful. Just looks good. There's a feeling of accomplishment there. That hope in a job well done. What are some expressions of hope? How do you express your hope? It can be a trusting joy. It can be excitement, that anticipation of knowing what is coming. Wait a minute, I missed one. What does hope look like? Have you thought of that? I know you're thinking, this guy doesn't think like I do. Hope looks like a child. And I'm going to explain that over this next little bit. This morning we were singing our songs, and I was standing right there singing, and Lane's little baby, his wife was holding the little baby, and the baby looked back right at me. And that little one, I don't know if she's looking because I had a bald head or if she was actually looking at me, but to see the eyes of that innocent child. Hope rests in the innocence of a child. If you have lost hope, if you need hope, if you're trying to find hope, look into the eyes of a child. Don't scare them, but look into the eyes of a child and you will see hope. You will witness hope. I have children, and I have grandchildren, and I have a hope for great-grandchildren. And to be able to see my days, and to see the legacy that God has given, the heritage that will be left for them in the eyes of my children, my grandchildren. All right, here's where it gets a little bit interesting this morning. We're going to go with the story of hope. Where does hope begin? Well, yes, you're right. Hope begins in the garden. Let's go to Genesis. We'll go to chapter 3. talking about Adam and Eve here. And we're going to see where hope begins. I'm going to read verse 6 for you. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Did you see him? He entered right there. Hope came in. I could see it now. Here's God.
"Now, Hope, it's time for you to get to work."
Hope's like, "Okay, I know I'm here, but I haven't had to do anything." Because Adam and Eve wake up in the morning and they walk with you in the evening and they have everything supplied. They don't need me. What's going on now? Yes, that was my God voice.
This was my God voice.
Let me read it again. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," what happened there? She saw something. A thought happened. Hope springs into gear. Why do we need hope right there? Because with that thought came an action and then the fall. Okay, the fall, separation from God and man. How in the world do we get that back? Only through hope. It takes hope to get that back to God. And we're going to see that here in the next little bit. I want to go now to chapter 3 of Genesis, and we're going to go to verse 16. In verse 16 says, after God talked to him a little bit, said, "Why do you not come out to see me? Thou were naked. How do you know that? Okay, serpent, you're going to be crawling on your belly now." It's quite the paraphrase, isn't it? Then the first thing he does, though, is he speaks to the woman. "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children." Ouch. Where is hope in that? Where is hope? I was going to try to do a little skit up here. You know, have you ever seen Flip Wilson? You know, he did Geraldine. I was going to do the Geraldine, and it's no. I'm not going to do that. You can just imagine. But when a husband and wife are in the delivery room, mostly the wife, and she's going through tremendous pain, I obviously don't know, but I've been told that for a woman to go through childbirth, it's like having 22 bones broken. Okay? If it had been 3, that would sound hard even. That's a lot of bones. It's a lot of pain. How does a woman get through that? It's not just by squeezing her husband's hand. It's because she knows at the end of that, there is the hope of a child. A beautiful, innocent child. This is where hope, he lives, but he also is perpetuated. And what do you mean by that? Let me get on target here. God is now speaking to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's saying, "Okay, now, guys," because that's how he talks, you know. "We need to execute the plan of redemption." God already had a plan, and hope was going to be involved with that. And I'm going to give you a little bit of visual with this. Let's go with that. Because hope had had some time to take care of a few things. And yes. So hope goes into action. He becomes Hope Man. He was the first avenger. Okay, what was he going to do? He was going to avenge what Satan stole. What did Satan steal? He stole our communion with God, our ability to walk into the Holy of Holies, to be in his presence. So here's Hope Man. And I'm going to try to put this on. Hope Man. He begins his journey. It began at the fall. Throughout the generations, we see Hope Man at work. How about it in the case of Abraham? His name was Abram. God says, I'm changing your name to Abraham. And the reason for that is because you're going to be the father of many nations. Would that give you some hope? Ooh. Here he thought he was not going to even have children, and he's told by God the Father, so he had faith for it. But he had the hope, the anticipation of being the father of many nations. He has a son. It happened. What does God tell him to do? Sacrifice your son. Where is hope in that? God builds you up, takes you all this way, and boom. He's going to cut it off. It's like your father saying, we're going to the amusement park. Then the next morning, saying, no, we're not going. Oh, the letdown of that. Hope. I'm not saying he was holding the ram in the bushes, but Hope Man was around there somewhere. But because of hope, the nation of Israel. How about Noah and the ark? They spend 120 years building an ark. People laughing. Rain didn't even happen in those days yet. And then they go up. God takes care of everything except Noah and his family. That string of hope carries on. How about the 400 years of captivity? Where was hope? 400 years, that's a long time. That's about like waiting out here at a stoplight on 412. Joseph in Egypt. They're about ready to all starve to death. Where was hope? Moses in the wilderness. Took him 40 years to cross to the other side. Where was the hope in that? Hope Man was in action. How about Isaiah and the prophets? Where was hope then? Still doing his job. You know, hope can be a shout. Hope can also be a whisper. The scarlet cord of redemption. That's where hope followed the trail. God gave him a job to follow that cord and to have it be a redeemer. Christ fulfilled the scarlet cord of redemption. He had to come as a child. If you go through the process of it, Christ had to come as a child. And how do I know that? Because hope follows the begets. You know what the begets are? It's part of the Bible that you kind of skip over. So-and-so beget so-and-so, who beget so-and-so, who beget so-and-so. Well, in all those begets, we have a scarlet cord. And that cord goes all the way to the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I want to give you a hint to the secret of hope. It may not be secret anymore, but there's a secret part to hope. It's the children. That is the secret. The Christ child was his secret. What is Christmas about? It's about the birth of Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus Christ. Children represent the hope of our salvation. When Jesus was going to the cross, what was going on in heaven? Have you thought about that? What was happening in heaven when Jesus was on the cross? Parents, what would it be like for you to watch your child to go through something difficult? God got to watch that. In fact, I think it even says that when they had the separation, he had to turn his back even. Think of someone you would give your life for. Go ahead. You got somebody? Everybody got somebody that they would give their life for. Think of it as if they had to go through what Jesus went through. Jesus went through beating and torture. Not only that, but put to a slow and painful death. All you could do was watch. What do you think the angels, what do you think the archangels were saying? Okay, God, give me 5 minutes out there. I'll handle this. We'll take care of this. They didn't get to, they had to just watch. Can you imagine that? You know, when I was growing up, I did some wrestling. Just like Pastor Bruce talks about sometimes. You know, if I went out and I pinned my opponent, yay, victory for me. But you know what? If I pinned somebody, there's a parent out there that had to watch their child get pinned and lose. Just kind of hits you right in the gut. This leads me back to Belpre, Kansas. In the mid-60s, this was before my life in Christ. I was about 5, and it would be 2 more years before I would accept Jesus Christ into my life. Well, the neighborhood bully, his name was Jake. He would come and get my 2 older brothers, just one at a time, and he would take them and go pin them down on top of an anthill. And the ants would bite them. And I couldn't do a thing about it. And he got the other one, and he'd hold him down on it. Well, my brothers decided to unify. And while my 2 older brothers were holding him down, my brother Brian, who's the eldest, he told me that I found a plastic bat, and I went and beat Jake about the head and shoulders severely because he was attacking my brothers. So what do you think was going on there in heaven when Jesus was being beaten, attacked, spat on, kicked, and whatever else? By the way, years later I had a nickname called Reggles, which is backwards for slugger. I don't know if I got my start there in Belpre, Kansas or not, but I enjoyed hitting the ball. If myself as an unsaved heathen would do this, what do you think the angels would have done? This was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and all they could do was watch. Why didn't anybody help? Let's go to John chapter 10. The book of John, chapter 10. Verse 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Jesus did not receive help because this had to happen to redeem you and I. I want to get to kind of an exciting part here. I can tell y'all are just riveted. Matthew chapter 27. Okay, this is where Hope Man gets to enter again. I want to read that to you. Chapter 27, verses 50 through 52. Matthew 27, verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. If you had just watched Jesus get crucified and he cried with a loud voice, then God finally says, okay, this is your time. This is where Hope Man wins his award for best supporting actor. I want to give you a symbol of hope. By now, Hope Man's pretty good at his job, so he's gotten a little bit of attitude, but I want to give you an idea of what Hope Man kind of went through at that point. Jesus has just been crucified. And if you never remember this after today, that's okay. Old man's pretty good. He's helped out Moses, Jacob, Isaiah, all the people. Your symbol of hope today. God says, well, Jesus says, it is finished. And what happened? God said, okay, guys, let's get down there. The temple veil was rent in two, top to bottom. I believe Hope Man was there. Helped rend that veil in two, top to bottom. But he not only opened the veil, but he opened the doorway from God to man through the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's where it's good. This is where Jesus ascends into hell. And what does he do? He's got to leave that place. So here's Hope Man. Death was arrested. And my life began. And then, the keys of death and hell were taken, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And what does hope do? What does hope do? Hope, for all these generations, through the scarlet cord of redemption, carried that hope to this one point where the keys of death and hell are taken and our redemption is secured. Did he stop there? He didn't stop. Hope is still there today, but we don't look so much forward in our hope of salvation, but he points us back to the moment where Jesus Christ took our sin upon himself, by himself. You remember that song? He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. That's why he did that. I've got to get this off. I can't see. He took us from the fall to the crucifixion. Now he points us back to salvation. I have to say this. You ever seen Batman? Okay. I am Hope Man. Not really, but I play him in sermons. Once that has happened, Jesus Christ has bought our salvation. We have what we now call the result of hope. And I would like to have us all sing a song. And we're going to have Mr. Nate come up to the piano, please. And we're going to sing the first two verses of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I'm going to invite young people to come on up. Young can be whatever age you want it to be. You can be 26 and be young. You can be 36 and be young. But we're going to learn some sign language this morning. It's going to be very simple. It's going to be, "It is well with my soul." Now, Miss Bandy is going to sign the first two verses, but we're going to do just the chorus. Okay, we're going to just go as we are. And we're going to sing the first two verses. And after each verse, we'll do the chorus. And the second time, we're going to do the chorus a second time. And we're going to sign the chorus. And the reason I want to do that is I want you all to take action with what's going on here, not just sit there and look at me like you are, but you can actually put some action into it. And maybe when times are tough and you need that extra helping hand, you can remember the sign language to, "It is well with my soul." The gentleman who wrote this song had lost everything. Horatio Spafford. It's in our hymnal number 493. If you want to look in there, we may have, yes, look at there. That's pretty cool, I think. And we're going to go through those first two verses, and on the chorus, we're going to do the sign language all together. Yes, I'm going to ask you all to do that. But Miss Bandy, would you please, I will speak it, and if you will sign it, please. All. Okay, everybody, we can have a stand here.
So I'll turn around.
Okay.
Just your left hand. All.
This is all.
All. You're just scooping it all in. All.
It is well.
All is good.
All is good.
All is good. Up your hand like this. With my soul.
With my soul. So all is good with my soul. Okay, can everybody remember that? Okay, one more time. All is good with my soul. Okay. And this kind of goes in a round, you know, like, it is well with my soul, with my soul. So this side can be the first, it is well. This side can be it is well the second time. Okay. Matt, did you catch all that?
Not quite.
Okay. Would you like to come up and lead? Thank you. Matt Snyder, everybody. So you're just going to follow her, just on the chorus. It is well, all is well with my soul. So it's going to be, it is well with my soul. And then we go, of course, all together, the last part. Okay, is everybody clear as mud on that? Okay. And I've got some help with the singing here, and that's a good thing. And Lane, if you want to Well, you need a book too?
I'm good.
Okay, but if you'll do the it as well, and you'll do the response.
I gotcha.
Okay, so he'll sing the response, he'll sign the response. And I'm going to act like I know what I'm doing up here. All right, Nate, if you would please. You may have a seat. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Bandy. That was great. Thank you. Yes, we're getting close to the end. I want to read a poem that I wrote. It's kind of a poem of hope. And then I'm going to read a scripture, and we will have our benediction. I am in the rising sun. I am there when day is done. Bring to me your highs, your lows. I will take them to the one who knows. In your search for life's perfect fit, let your anticipation go on a bit. With every trial you go through, hope is one to see and do. Thank you, Father, for my place. May I always see your loving face. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. God bless you.